as their prophet, and more than a prophet, this was the person who they had seen carry out miracles, carry out healing. This was the person that they thought would redeem Israel. Now, what does that word mean? What does it mean to redeem? Well, redeem means to gain or regain possession of something through a payment. So they would have been very familiar with the Old Testament scripture, the story of Exodus, where the Israelites came out of Egypt and God redeemed them or took them from the Egyptians where they were in slavery and took them into the new promised land. Okay, and their understanding of the scriptures at that point was that a Messiah would come and would redeem Israel, which was now under the authority of Rome, which were pagans. And this Messiah, maybe through war or violence or whatever, would redeem them and take them out of the Roman occupation. However, they had just seen that very person that they put all their hopes in be crucified by those very Romans that they thought he was going to overthrow. And Cleobus says very clearly, they crucified him, but we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. So what did Jesus have to do? He met with them on the road and he explained the scriptures to them, didn't he? But what I found interesting is he didn't reveal himself to start off with, a bit like in our own journeys with Jesus. Sometimes our hearts take a bit of preparation before he can reveal ourselves to us. When I married my wife Emma, she wasn't a Christian. And through a story I'm going to tell you in a while, she did become a Christian. But that was actually only after she had taken 4 Alpha courses and she came round to it. There was quite a lot of work that Jesus needed to do on Emma's heart before she was ready to meet with him. And Jesus had to explain the scriptures. There's this lovely verse that says, actually, I better just put my glasses on. Okay. It says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Imagine a talk being given by Jesus himself explaining all the scriptures. So that was all explained to them. And what did he explain to them? Well, he turned into what they thought, which was they crucified you, but we had hoped that you were going to be the one that was going to redeem Israel, into they crucified him, and that was how he redeemed Israel. It was by his very suffering that he redeemed Israel. So it was not through wars or battles or overthrowing the Romans. Okay, Jesus redeemed Israel from its suffering, okay, by suffering himself. And sometimes I think on our own journeys, we can only recognize Jesus when we truly understand that gospel message that Jesus brings to us and we truly meet that resurrection. The resurrection was the difference, wasn't it? Okay, he was crucified, but he is with us now. And that's his upside down kingdom. Let's move on. So, the next two couple of points I want to make are about journeying with Jesus in our own stories, and how journeying with Jesus helps us to cope with suffering, and how journeying with Jesus helps us with healing. And very kindly, my son Hugh, who's sitting over there, I can't get his eye. He's not. Oh, he's gone out. Okay. Very kindly said, I can share his story with you, and it's my story as well. Hugh's 14 now, but this is Hugh as a baby. One of my favorite pictures of him smiling. And my journey with Hugh is a story that started off 14 years ago with a very traumatic experience for us. Okay, we had had Luke and we were expecting our second child. And a bit like the disciples, you have massive expectations for those of you who have been waiting or have got a baby coming or whatever, and know that you have all these expectations inside of you that what it's going to be like when you have that baby. And he was born, and just after he was born, we were rushed to Bristol's Children's Hospital and spent a month in Bristol's Children's Hospital with Hugh because he was diagnosed with a condition called hydrocephalus, which is where you get he had a bleed in his brain and he had brain damage and the fluid wouldn't leak from his brain. And he had to have an operation to have something called a shunt installed. And you can actually see the shunt in the side there. It's a tube that goes under his skin that drains the fluid from his head into his tummy. About a pint of fluid it drains every day, actually. And that was put in when Hugh was a month old, and we spent quite a traumatic month in hospital with Hugh. It's the same shunt he now has. The very same one is still there. Now, I vividly remember going to meet with the neurosurgeon just after we got to Bristol, and he got the scans out and showed us Hugh's brain and said, I'm sorry, you know, your baby has got this condition, and we don't know what it's going to be like, but he probably won't walk or talk or even smile. And at that point, my wife coped with it better than I did. I struggled with that, as you would. The thought of my baby, all those expectations that I had in my own head of my son Hugh growing up, had suddenly been dashed. Now, in that suffering for that month in hospital, I spent a lot of time in prayer and reading my Bible. Emma wasn't a Christian at the time, and she wondered what I was going on, what was nutty. I spent a lot of time, okay, a bit like when Andrew a couple of weeks ago preached to us about Job, shouting at God and praying to God. But he walked with me through that journey. Okay, and he walked with me through my sorrow, okay, but it was tough. And all I kept on praying for, as all of us would do, would be that Hugh would be healed. And I truly believe that God could have healed Hugh if he'd wanted to, or not if he'd wanted to. God could have healed Hugh, and God does do healing. But what I want to talk about is the fact that actually what God did with Hugh is a much greater miracle than just healing him. Okay? When we look at healing in the Old Testament, okay, we see that Jesus did lots of healing, but it was never about the actual healing of the person. It was always about Jesus and what he was doing in that situation, and that healing pointing to Jesus. And with Hugh, those of you who know him now, he certainly does smile. In fact, he's got the best smile in the world. He does talk. He's vastly intelligent, far better speller than me. Okay, writes lovely poems. Okay, he is an amazing miracle of God. Okay, but more than that, through our journey, Hugh has got to know and has a strong relationship with God. And Jesus walks with Hugh in a very special way, and the Holy Spirit is present in Hugh more than anyone I know. I think in this society now, we see healing as this concept of healing has to be about taking something away from us. If we have lung cancer, it's about taking that cancer away and then we'll be physically healed. I often think Jesus thinks of healing actually in a different way. Okay, they talk about the shalom healing. Shalom is a word that they use, a lot of you might know, okay, a Jewish word, a Hebrew word that is used for peace. It's a greeting. It has many different meanings, but it means particularly, it means to hear God or feel him in your suffering. Okay, and it's a sense of peace that God brings to us in our healing. Now, let's look at this in the Old Testament, okay, and this type of healing that goes on. Moses, my first example. I love Moses. Okay, in Exodus 4, 10 to 17, it talks about Moses having this speech impediment. He wasn't good at public speaking. And yet he was the one who Jesus called He was the one, who God called to redeem, to bring the Israelites out of slavery and have to talk to the most powerful person in the world at that time, who was Pharaoh. He prayed and said, I can't do it. Okay, I'm not a good public speaker. What did God say? Tough. Going to do it anyway. I mean, he did help him out. He gave him his brother Aaron to help him talk. But he said, no, get on with it. He didn't heal him of that. He just walked with him through all of that. Okay, what about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10? Okay, it talks about Paul having a thorn in his side. Now, Paul, the greatest, one of the greatest evangelists, theologians that there ever was, wrote all the books, all those letters in the New Testament. He brought people back to life from the dead. Okay, he prayed three times for healing from whatever that thorn in the side was. And God didn't heal him. Yet, through that, he said something so powerful and something that's been really powerful to me. In my brokenness, that's where my strength is. And then Jesus himself, he went through crucifixion and something I will never understand. But when they meet the resurrected Jesus, like we see in this passage, what did he do? He showed him their hands and what was on his hands. So this was his perfect resurrected body. The place that we will all go to in heaven and we will have new resurrected bodies. And he showed them his hands and he still had the scars there. I don't know really or understand what that means, okay? But healing, I think, is a concept. I know that sometimes God will just heal illness and I know he can do that. But there is other types of healing that I think we need to be aware of. Now, what Jesus really wants to do is walk with us through our suffering, walk with us through our healing. But what's difficult, and what has been difficult for me at times, especially when I was in that suffering, and some of you know I suffer from anxiety, okay, quite often, is hearing from God in that suffering, hearing from God in that place of anxiety, hearing from God in that place of depression, maybe. Do we hear from him? Now, we know that God is always walking with us, like those guys on the road to Emmaus. He is at their side, but they didn't know he was him there to start off with. This is one of my heroes of faith, Mother Teresa, who most of us know the story of Mother Teresa, don't we? Okay, but I think what is quite powerful is that Mother Teresa actually went through a time that she called her dark night of the soul. And she went through a time where she felt very distant from God. Now, she was still carrying out her calling, but she wrote this in a letter to a good friend of hers. Jesus has a very special love for you. This is writing to her friend. But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. So, what's happening there? What's happening? Jesus is walking with us on our journeys. What happens when we can't hear him? Let's see what the Bible says. In Isaiah 45, 15, it says, truly you are God who has been hiding himself. Okay, so does God hide himself from us? Well, no, I don't believe that. Okay, one of my favorite chapters in one of my favorite books, Romans, and I think the pinnacle of Romans, like the top of the mountain in Romans, is Romans chapter 8. And in verse 38 to 39, a verse that a lot of you are probably quite familiar with. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So we know we can't be separated from him. So what's going on? Well, let's look at Jesus himself. Jesus himself on the cross. What did he do? He quoted Psalm 22. Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus himself was God. So theologically, he couldn't be separated from God because he was God. He didn't lose his faith on the cross. But obviously on the cross, he did feel a disconnect from God. And I think sometimes, even though Jesus is walking with us, we can feel a disconnect from him. So what do we do? What do we do when we feel a disconnect on our journeys? Well, okay, I want to give some suggestions of how we can connect with God, how we can come closer to Jesus. And this is the first one. Love has a speed. How fast did Jesus walk on the road to Emmaus? There's a good science question to you. Okay, in GCSE science, you need to know how fast. You're going to ask me now, and I can't even remember. You need to know how fast someone walks in meters per second. I won't do it in meters per second, and I can't even remember now, even though I should. How fast did Jesus walk? Well, there's a Japanese theologian who wrote a book called 3 Mile an Hour God. I'm not going to pronounce his name. And it talks about how Jesus walks at 3 miles an hour, which is a fairly slow walking pace. How do we connect with God? Jesus never rushed anywhere. Okay, he always had time for people. Now, I teach in a secondary school. I'm always rushing. I know quite a few of you here work in the hospital. I imagine you rush about all over the place. What speed do you walk at? I worked out sometimes I'm walking about 9 miles an hour, which is probably near enough running. If I'm running at 9 miles an hour and Jesus is walking at 3 miles an hour, how am I going to connect with Jesus? I need to slow down. And if I'm going at 9 miles an hour in my life, I'm rushing through with my relationships and talking to students and talking to my colleagues and talking to other people. Who's leading who in my relationship? Is Jesus leading me, or am I trying to lead Jesus? So my first thought is, let's slow down. And I know that's easier said than done. But let's slow down, and that will help us connect with the Jesus who has a speed, love has a speed, and that isn't rushed. That's having time for people. The other application I want to give you is how to hear from God. Now, this passage is just the most fantastic passage about hearing from God. So let's quickly run through. How does this passage about the road to Emmaus tell us how to hear from God? Well, it tells us straight away that we can hear from God by reading our Bibles. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So by reading the Bible, we hear from God. By prayer. By praying, we can hear from God. Verse 32, were not your hearts burning within us while he opened the scriptures to us? When we pray, we hear from God. Prophecy, okay? Prophecy is about speaking into the situations that we're in. Other people speaking into our situations. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road? We can hear from Jesus by other people prophesying into our lives. What about that still, small voice in our hearts, that one Elijah heard, our conscience inside us? Sometimes a voice that we don't always recognize as Jesus, but telling us this situation's not comfortable, maybe you shouldn't be in this situation, or maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them, but they were kept from recognizing him. We hear from Jesus in our conscience. And lastly, we hear from Jesus in creation. We hear from Jesus from all of us in here, from the other people that were made in God's image. By other people speaking into our lives, and I see Jesus in creation and in nature when you're doing that walk on the cliff. When you're watching those big waves come in, when you're sitting on that surfboard out back and you see the sunset, in nature we hear from Jesus. So what do all those things have in common? Okay, as I come to the end now. They all have in common that Jesus wants personal relationship with us. He doesn't just want us to understand his scriptures. He wants to actually meet with us. He explained the scriptures to the disciples, but then he revealed himself to us. He explained those scriptures himself personally. He didn't get someone else to. And he wants to meet with us. He doesn't want to be silent. He doesn't want to be blocked out from our lives. When was the last time that you felt his presence? Not just knew his presence cerebrally in your head, but felt his presence in your life. I know we have to be careful with feelings, but we are emotional people. God gave us a heart to feel his presence. He is a God who lives in relationship and he wants a relationship with us. So can I just ask the band, someone to just play some quiet music in the background for a minute? Because what I would like to ask you to do now to finish off is I would like you to join me in, if you would, a meditative prayer. A time when hopefully we can today, now, this very minute, meet with Jesus in our journey and ask Jesus to speak into our lives. So I wonder if you would just go along with me for a minute, and we'll go through this little meditative prayer that takes 5 minutes or so. If you could just all shut your eyes for me for a second, that would be great. And I would like you to try and bring to mind, just take a second on this, just try and bring to mind a memory that you have from the past, a memory of where you had a powerful experience of the presence of Jesus. Maybe that was walking on top of a mountain. Maybe that was in a beautiful place. Maybe that was when you first met with Jesus, when you came to know him. Maybe that was in a great Christian gathering. I don't know. Try and think of a memory that you have when you felt close to him. I'd like you to try and go back to that memory and relive that memory. Relive it in your brain. Think it through, that memory. Saying, what's his mouth saying to you? What does Jesus want to say to you now? Does he want to say something about your journey with him? Sense of joy. Maybe it's a joy that's been lacking from your life, a joy that comes when you're in close, when you feel close to Jesus. I'd onto that memory while we go into some worship.